Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. A couple questions right off the bat. We're going to deal with some Trump things, the election, the future of the country. Someone wants some good walkout music. Someone wants to talk about the commies and their affinity for kids. Why are they always after your kids so hard? Someone doesn't want to be blamed for the condition of the country. After all, it's just Democrats' fault, isn't it? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. All right, now let's dig into this. Before I do the Trump stuff, I want to talk about something that's it's kind of Trump-related, but also not really. You may have heard recently that Trump has been proposing at his rallies that there's no more taxing tips. Hey, I don't think we should tax tips. Your tips shouldn't be taxed. Okay, I love that. That's great. That's not a law that I believe is going to get passed, so don't hold your breath or anything like that. I don't think Congress is going to pass it, but you're running for president. We're going to stop taxing your tips. Get some more votes in your pocket. Obviously, that's what's happening here. That's fine. Set that aside. We talk a lot about symbols, about the danger of symbols. It's dangerous to ever make a man your symbol. And symbols, remember, symbols can work both ways. A symbol that you worship, revere, follow. A symbol that you hate. All your problems are his fault. He's the devil. Symbols. This is a very, very mankind thing to do. It's a natural thing to do. We create symbols in our minds, and politicians love to do this, understandably so, because it helps you get elected. Hey, vote for me. I will fix all your problems. Hey, that guy, he's the source of all your problems. They love that. Now, let's talk about how the communists handle this, because they're so good at it. The communists can and will build a symbol in 24 hours, in a heartbeat. A great example, I've used it before, George Floyd. Great example. George Floyd? Some career criminal dirtball? How does some guy go from being a drug-addicted career criminal dirtball to being someone who's given more royal funerals than the Queen of England when she died? There are George Floyd statues in multiple cities across the United States of America. As recently as, I think it was last week, maybe it was even this week, Joe Biden was speaking his name in speeches still. How does that happen? Well, the communists have always understood the power of symbols. Here, this is your man. He is the devil. He is responsible for all the ills in the world. That's who you should hate. It's him. It's him. It's him. And creating symbols for their side to worship. George Floyd, he was a saint, just a humble father, attacked by the evil white cops for the color of his skin. No other reason. And why they do that is it gives people something to follow, something to focus on. So the people who never gave a crap about George Floyd immediately are speaking his name. Oh, George, I'm so sad and terrible. They do it for people to love. Hey, this is who you love. And they do it for people they hate. Your liberal Aunt Peggy. That coworker of yours, the Democrat coworker, or maybe you actually have a liberal Aunt Peggy, or your sister, or your mom, or your brother, whoever it may be. They hate Trump with everything in their being. Now, you are almost undoubtedly a thinking person. Maybe you're a huge Trump fan. Maybe you're lukewarm. Maybe you hate his guts. But you know that Trump's just a dude. Certainly not a dictator by any stretch of the imagination. Just a dude. A fairly normal Republican, actually, when you look at how he actually operates. Fairly normal Republican. But they think he's the Antichrist. Why do they think that? Because the communists, for now years, have beaten that into their heads at every turn. Every time liberal Aunt Peggy turns on the news, it's Trump's the devil, Trump's the devil, Trump's the devil. When her kids go to school, the social studies teacher's talking about how Trump's Hitler, Trump's the devil, Trump's Mussolini. If they turn on television over and over and over and over and over again, creating this symbol. This is the symbol. This is the source of all your ills. And you want an example of how this pans out? Why they do this? I've got the best example in the world. Courtesy of actually a Fox News poll. So Trump's no tax on tips thing, they decided to run a poll with Republicans and Democrats. Hey, what do you think about this with no taxing on tips? What do you think about this? Without anybody's name attached to it, Republicans and Democrats both supported the plan. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, don't tax these poor servers. That sounds good. Then, as part of the poll, they finally attached Trump's name to it. And they asked Democrats again, hey, what do you think about no taxes on tips? How much do you think it dropped? 50 points. 50. 50 points. The second. Hell, I love that policy. What, Trump loves it? Oh, no way. Symbols are powerful. They are so powerful. They're way too powerful. You should guard against symbols for your entire life. And it's very, very difficult because, as I said, it's a human thing to do. And I'm talking about all symbols. Symbols you hate, symbols you love. You should never, ever, 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 ever make someone a good symbol. You revere them, whatever they say. He's so smart. Look, maybe that's Trump for you, or DeSantis. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's a Tony Robbins. I don't. Whoever it may be, don't ever make a man more than a man. That's what you do when you make him a symbol. And on the other foot, don't ever do that when it comes to people you hate either. Look, I hate Joe Biden. He's an evil piece of trash. He has been his entire career. The corruption, the lies, the viciousness. We don't even have to go into his conduct around children, his own daughter. We don't have to go into any of that. I despise Joe Biden. I do. If you think that Joe Biden is the source of all of our problems, and those problems will be fixed the second Joe Biden gets out of office, you've made him a symbol, and you've made a mistake. We have to guard against that. And we have to be purposeful about guarding against that because it's human nature. I brought up church. You know what? Let's talk about that for a moment. Have you ever wondered why, if you know anything about the Bible, have you ever wondered why, you know, churches are not supposed to be led by pastors? Find a pastor and let him lead your church. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. It's supposed to be led by a group of elders. A group of elders. Elders, and there are specific requirements for what an elder should be. Has to be a man. Has to be a this. Has to be good financial standing. Has to Why a group? Well, have you ever seen, whether you go to a church or not, have you ever seen a massive church scandal? Pastor gets caught with the secretary, embezzling some money, whatever the case may be. What happens to the church when that lion of a pastor goes crumbling down? The church itself disintegrates because they found themselves a symbol. He's so funny. He's witty on Sunday. He knows the Bible back and forth. Oh, gosh. I don't think I can go poop without Pastor Bob telling me it's the right thing to do. What? Bob ran off with $1 million of the church's money? Ah, screw this. I don't believe in God anymore. be careful of symbols. I have to do this too. Now, I'm less inclined to do this because I'm a more cynical person who I probably go the other way, way too far on this. I generally am very distrustful and, if we're being honest, disdainful of most people who are in power in that way. I just am. Politicians. What do I always tell you about politicians? I know it's very human. You either love them or hate them. I love him. He's my favorite. I hate her. She's the worst. I don't give a crap about politicians, any of them. None of them. They're all rental cars to me. I care about you. I care about saving my country. If there's a politician who's going to do some things, help me do that, fine. Good. Good for you. I stand behind you. The second you are hurting that goal, screw you. Go to the ditch. I'll find someone else. You mean nothing to me at all. Politicians mean nothing to me. All right. Now, let's set all that stuff aside. I just thought that was an interesting little poll. Shows the power of symbols. Now, let's do this Trump talk that I said we were going to do. But first, let's do some pure talk. I know that that was not really the way I wanted to put it. I guess it probably wasn't a pure talk, but it was very smooth, though, Chris. Maybe I should. Chris, I'm going to do that next time I do it. Now for some pure talk. Anyway, Pure Talk's awesome. It's a wireless company. Their CEO is a veteran. They love America so much that they hire Americans. Aren't you tired of getting a hold of customer service and having to talk to somebody who doesn't speak English? You have to repeat yourself 10 times. They have to repeat themselves 10 times. Get a hold of Pure Talk. Switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. If you switch before July 4th weekend, you'll be helping veterans because they partnered with America's Warrior Partnership, helping our vets. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So let's dig back into the questions here. Jesse, knowing full well Trump doesn't have the stomach to do what's necessary to combat the communists, is him winning just further delaying the inevitable rise of a truly bad far-right dictator type that people will turn to in their desperation? Not that I'm wishing for it, of course, but it's coming. The communists really won't like it when they are being thrown in jail by a guy who is actually everything they accuse Trump of being. Thoughts? Okay, so this guy says, you know, Trump doesn't have what it takes to actually go at these people. So if he loses or if he wins, is that slowing down the inevitable, which I have said repeatedly? I believe we will have a right-wing dictator rise in this country. I have always believed that. No, I'm not cheering for it, but it's coming. It is. The animals, the communists, they can't stop themselves. They can't help themselves. And they'll end up creating the monster they claim to fear the most. They will. It's happened many times before. So does Trump winning, does it delay that? Well, I know this may be a little bit of a cynical way to put on it, but, well, I'll tell you what, I'll pair this email with it. Jesse, the 24 election is a no-lose situation for the commies. If Trump wins, the commies have placed so many IEDs in his path, he will fail. The commies will pounce and win unanimously, so on and so forth. If Biden wins, the commies will shift into overdrive destruction. We are doomed. Okay, all right. So if Trump wins, what can we expect? What should we expect? Well, we'll move past foreign policy changes. We'll move past border security. Those are two things that are going to change drastically because a president has so much authority in those areas. The same way Biden opened it up, Trump can and probably will close it. Foreign policy will get much more sane. Okay, now let's set those two things aside. Maybe that's how you're voting. Maybe that's why you're voting. That's the reason a lot of people are voting. Set those aside. What about all this other stuff? What can be done? What will be done? Well, remember, it can be easy to forget. Remember what they did the last time. The last time Trump got elected, he was impeached twice from within his own government. The Republican Party itself kneecapped any real efforts at doing major things. They did. And we don't even have to go into it because we've covered it before. Trump's personnel decisions were disastrous. He kept Jared Kushner right next to him, who yanked him left on every issue. That's why he didn't stay with the child separation policy, Jared Kushner. That's why George Floyd died and Trump was doing law enforcement roundtables about the evil whitey cops. Jared Kushner is where that came from. Okay, so let's go to the next time. We're going to get border security if Trump wins. You're going to get a better foreign policy. That's good. Those are good things. It's better than Joe Biden. The reaction this next time will be way more vicious than it was the first time, simply because of how much power they've acquired. Remember, we put way too much stock in the idea of the presidency. The presidency is very important. But we have a country that is not even run by the presidency. It's not even run by Congress, the House or the Senate, even though they're a part of it. We have a nation that is run by the bureaucracy, by the three-letter agencies out there. These are the people who were intimately involved in trying to prevent Trump from being elected, in impeaching him, spying on him. That we have a huge bureaucracy problem. Now, you know how bad the bureaucracy problem was the last time. Joe Biden and the communists understand that that's their greatest strength. Their greatest strength is not the House or the Senate or what, or even the office of the presidency. Their greatest strength is it's all Democrats working in the federal government. It's something like 94% of the federal government are Democrats. It's all communists in the federal government. And that was before Joe Biden took over and spent another 4 years filling up the government with dirty commies at every single turn. It's going to be really, really, really ugly if Trump gets elected. Really, really, really ugly. Unless he doesn't want to do anything. And we won't know that until he gets there. We really will not know that until he gets there. You can't go on campaign speeches. You don't know. Is he coming like the sword of God himself for revenge against all these dirty commies for what they've done to you in the country? I don't know. I don't know. Is he going to be, well, I just want to get along. The FBI needs a new headquarters after all. Look, there's a lot of bad signs about that. If that's what he's going to be, then it won't be anything. You'll know how effective he's trying to be by how vicious the pushback is. I have said it before. I'll say it again. If you're not getting impeached, you're not trying to save the country. Period. End of story. The military alone. If you wanted to save the military from what's happening to it, you would have to fire 200, 300 flag officers day one. Gone. They would impeach you immediately for that. Republicans and Democrats. He must hate the troops. You know I'm right. So if he doesn't get impeached right away, you know he's useless. That's how you know. And we're not going to know. You know, we're not going to know. It is what it is. We'll find out. Look, it's all right. At least we won't be in pain. That's what matters most, right? The daily pain. Doesn't daily pain suck? You go through it, don't you? Your back hurts a lot. Knee's been bugging you all the time. How long, let me ask you this, how long have you been living with that nagging pain? Foot that's bugging you, your bicep, how long? Have you tried Relief Factor yet? You know how many testimonials there are out there from people who take Relief Factor every day and their pain has disappeared? And this is drug-free. It's all natural stuff. It helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. You take Relief Factor every day. Whatever that nagging pain is, try 3 weeks of Relief Factor. Wake up, take it every single morning, then tell me how you feel. The stuff is miraculous. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And if you want to email us, you can. We're live. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get back to some emails. Jesse. Oh, never mind. He says, loofah and body wash, pink flower. I don't use a loofah. I'm 12 years old and my travel baseball team is doing walk-up songs. And I wondered if you had any prodigious suggestions. Chris, what's that word mean? Can you look that up so we can sound smart? You know what? It's fine. Whatever. I do have your walk-up song, son. You ready for this? Chris, if you wouldn't mind, by the way, 12-year-old, if you're listening on the podcast, you won't be able to hear this at all. But Chris, please take it away. All right, Chris, you better cut it off. I know there are some potty words in that song. So listen. That's called "Bulls on Parade" by Rage Against the Machine. I'm a little bit hesitant right now to continue further because I forgot that that was a bad word song, and Chris just told me how bad the language was in the song, and I just suggested that for a 12-year-old in his baseball team. I'm sure, though, that there's a non-explicit version out there, and that was all I could play for radio purposes. Just listen to the first minute of that song or so. By the time you get to the plate, you'll be ready to murder the ball. That's what I'm talking about. I'm ready to hit a baseball right now. Jesse, why are you not? While you're not completely innocent, many radio personalities say we are guilty of doing this or doing that and should be saying Biden and or his Democratic Party are responsible. I hate being lumped in with everyone. Secondly, Trump and his voting campaign media time should concentrate on the fact that January 6th was previously organized before and available substantiated details to support his innocent position to the people. Let the people hear this relentlessly. Enjoy your daily show. Okay, first, let's address the last part. Trump and his voting campaign should concentrate on the fact that January 6th was previously organized. I cannot put into words how terrible that idea is. Terrible idea. And this is a mistake we all make from time to time, myself included, so allow me to explain. Donald Trump is running for president. He's now the Republican nominee. The primary is over. Donald Trump is not going to run a single campaign ad. At least he shouldn't. If he does, he's an idiot. He's not going to run a single campaign ad trying to explain the background of January 6th. You know why? Because undecided swing voters in swing states don't give a crap about January 6th. You do, and I do. If he was running for you or running for me, then yes, that would be a smart ad. He's not running for us. He should never run an ad aimed at you. If you are on the right, you are either already voting for Trump or there's nothing you would ever do to vote for Trump. Those are the only two kinds of people on the right. They've already made their decision. I'm voting for Trump. He's my guy. Or I'll hold my nose and vote for Trump, but I'm voting for Trump. Or I hate Trump's freaking guts. I'm not voting for Lockdown Don. I was injured by the vaccine. Whatever it may be. If you are on the right, you have made your voting decision for November. There's not a single person on the right listening to the sound of my voice who is undecided. He doesn't need to talk to you or me really ever again for the rest of this campaign cycle. Now, I realize get out the vote is there and you're going to want to do rallies and you're going to want to inspire the base, but you need to reach independent voters in swing states. And let's talk about them for a moment. We're talking about Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The presidential election will be won or lost in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. All right? So who are these people you're supposed to talk to? Well, you know how we always talk about Norm and Norma and how incredibly uninformed they are? We lament it all the time. We talk about how that's our challenge. That's the stress because you're a hyper-informed person. You know the issues. You know the politicians. You know what's going on. And then you talk to these people, your friends, your family, your neighbors, and they don't know anything about anything. And it gets frustrating for you. The independent swing voter, the guy who I voted for Obama twice, and then I voted for Trump the first time, and then I voted for Biden, and now I think I'm going to vote for Trump. You know what that guy really is? That guy is someone who doesn't pay attention at all. At all. He doesn't know anything about the issues. He can't tell you a single significant bill, a single piece of executive action. He can't tell you specifics about anything when it comes to the debt, the deficit, the border. He knows nothing. It's like you're dealing with a little child. That's who the independent swing voter actually is, and that's a fact. That's who they are. Well, if you voted for Obama twice and then Trump and then Biden and now you're voting for Trump again and those people are everywhere, you are simply someone who doesn't pay attention and doesn't care. So what do you vote on? You vote on whatever you're feeling at the time. I've talked to these people. I've seen them interviewed before. I like the way he looks. Oh, I thought that he seemed nice. He reminded me of my grandpa. Or even if it's on an issue. It's the most basic way you could explain an issue. I'm voting for Trump because my eggs are expensive now. Okay, do you know why your eggs are expensive? No, anyway, the game's on. We're done here. That's who your ads have to target. Isn't that terrible? And I know it's terrible. Look, I wish it wasn't that way. I wish you decided every election. We'd be doing just fine. if everyone cared the way you care, you're seeking out talk radio on a Friday or a Saturday morning, depending when you listen. If everyone cared the way you cared, we wouldn't have any problems in this country. Would you realize that? We'd be fine. We have a country full of half-brain dead zombies just going through the motions all around us, voting on, I like this teeth. So you don't run ads explaining January 6th to people. That is like the last thing you would ever do in the world. Now, as far as radio personalities or whoever you're talking about saying we are responsible, and you don't like being lumped in with that. Well, we are responsible. At least, look, I don't want to indict you. I don't know your involvement level. I will tell you, I am responsible. I am partially at fault for the condition of this country. Yes, I have been politically involved and trying to win campaigns, running for office, doing whatever I can do for a long time. I could have done more. How many days, how many Saturdays have I woken up and done nothing that day? Lounged around a little bit, I don't know, read a book, done nothing. I could have gotten up, gotten out of the house, and been more active in preserving freedom. I didn't. I'm trying the best I can now, but even now, I'm not doing everything I could be doing. We have failed. We have failed. The most difficult question is this one. And it's only difficult because it hurts. What have conservatives conserved? What have we conserved? Not what we tried to do, or not what we want to do, not what we... I saw my buddy Aaron McIntyre said this today, and it was so true. He said, the pride flag is now less controversial than the Ten Commandments in the United States of America. We haven't done enough. And no, I don't think, I'm not accusing you who emailed that in or anything like that of being some dirty commie who's destroyed the country. But it's not just Democrats who have spent us into bankruptcy. Republicans spend as much or more than Democrats have. It's not just Democrats who love amnesty. We just had Mitch McConnell and James Lankford try to pass amnesty. Let's not put all the blame on Democrats. Are they evil and demonic and communist? Yeah, you bet. But Republicans are responsible for a lot, and all of us could have done more and can do more, myself included, pointing fingers right here at me. All right, let's do some more. We have a bunch of stuff. You want to talk about kids? Let's talk about kids. Why are they so after kids? And speaking of kids, I have found it very difficult to look at videos from the Hamas-Israel attack. And it's because of how young so many of them were. And the young men is sad. I'm not going to act like it's not. But the young women, I think about that a lot. I think about what it would be like to be in captivity like that, to have some friggin' barbarians come swooping into your country and take you away. And the IFCJ, International Federation of Christians and Jews, what they're doing is simply showing support. And what they're asking for is just to sign a pledge. That's it. Can you sign a pledge? It's going to be delivered to Netanyahu and all that stuff when they're done. But supportifcj.org is where you go to sign up. Go, sign up. Supportifcj.org. This is a wonderful organization. All right? We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Somebody did email in every now and then. I usually lose track of the fact that people just start listening because I'm arrogant. I just assume everyone's been listening forever and listening to every word, and that's not true at all. My mentor, Michael Berry, has told me, look, you need to repeat stories. You need to repeat phrases because only about 10% of your audience is getting it at any given moment. So you need to repeat them. And obviously, there are some soundboard items that, they could prompt an explanation. For instance, this one.
Why are you gay?
We get this a lot because I play it a lot, especially during Pride Month. What is it? Well, I'm going to play you the highlights. I'm going to play you the full version of it. And the full version of it, honestly, it's just one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my entire life. I think this was Uganda. Was it Uganda, Chris? It was. So this guy, the guy you hear here.
Why are you gay?
He's a Uganda newscaster. I don't know anything about him, but this was a news show in Uganda. And they bring on, I don't even know what she is. She's, I believe, a lesbian. If you looked at her, you wouldn't. Is she a tranny pretending to be a dude, or is she a lesbian? I don't know what she is, but a tranny activist, okay? And this is kind of the condensed version of it. It's a longer interview, but it is just the most pants-wetting funny thing in the world because this guy has no idea about any of this at all. And listening to this nutball try to explain to this guy what she is, what she's here for, and how confused he is, and how politically incorrect he is about everything because he doesn't even understand what he's dealing with. Anyway, here's the condensed version.
In the studio this morning, one of the gay rights activists, Mr. Should I call you Mr.? Pepe Julian Onzima. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for
good morning.
Morning to you.
Why are you gay?
Who says I'm gay?
You are gay. You are a transgender.
What shows that I'm gay?
You are a transgender, yes, and you're a gay rights activist and an outspoken lesbian, homosexual. How can I describe you? Now, we're looking at the raging debate. You're a gay rights activist. Why should someone be gay? You're having a girlfriend.
Yes.
Do you perform the natural obligations?
I'm not sexually active right now.
So what are you doing with this lady?
By choice.
By choice.
Yeah. I've chosen not to engage.
Doesn't that make you gay?
What do you mean, doesn't that make me gay? I am male and attracted to a female.
So who is gay?
Honestly, maybe that's the one we should have on the soundboard, because by the time the tranny's done, he's so lost. So someone's gay. Who's gay? I don't understand. You said you weren't gay, but who's gay? Anyway, that's the history of that. Jesse, this won't be exact, but I know you'll remember it, and I've tried to forget it until I listened to today's show about the school indoctrination from about 10 years or so. Kids don't belong to parents or families. They belong to the whole community. Okay, let's talk about this. Communists have forever. This is not a modern American problem. Communists have tried to break children from their families. And they have very successfully, everywhere they've taken power, broken children from their families. Biden said something that, honestly, Biden basically echoed that recently. This is a common Democrat talking point now.
It's wrong that extreme officials are pushing hateful bills targeting transgender children, terrifying families, and criminalizing doctors. These are our kids. These are our neighbors. It's cruel and it's callous. Not somebody else's kids. They're all our kids.
Why do they talk like that? Well, this goes clear back to the Soviet Union and everywhere else in between. The communist has to make sure your only loyalty is to him and the revolution and his cause. He can allow no other higher loyalties. That's why they attack the dominant religion of whatever country they're in. That's why the Russians burned down the churches. That's why Mao burned down the Buddhist temples. That's exactly why the FBI and the LGBTQ mafia is destroying the American church with every ounce of their being. That's why the Spanish communists were crucifying the priests and raping the nuns. They go after the churches because the church, a belief in God, is a higher loyalty than to them, so they must destroy it. The exact same thing with the family. They cannot have strong family units, because someone from a strong family unit would never blindly follow the dirty communists. He would never do that because mom or dad would disapprove. He was taught values. So they used to make up stories that would teach. It was propaganda designed to teach children to tell on their parents and teach parents to tell on their children. This is a common thing. East Germany was famous for it. Children would turn in their moms. Dads would turn in their wives. You have to do that in a communist society. The family unit is the most anti-communist thing on the planet. That's why they break it up. Yes, that's a good point. Chris Pavel is his name. You're looking for the story of Pavel. Jewish producer Chris was thinking about the story in the Soviet Union. It was a story where a kid was made out to be a hero. What did he do? He turned in his father for hoarding grain. And his father ended up killing him, or father and uncle, I forget the story. Then they made the kid into a national hero, telling kids across the country, turn in your dad. That's what heroes do. They're no different today. That's why your social studies teacher is trying to get your son to chop his penis off behind your back. That's why. All right, we have another hour left, which is good because I still have a fatty stack of questions. Let's talk first about Tunnel to Towers. Tunnel to Towers is such a blessed organization. Just their finances alone. And I know that's a weird way to talk about an organization like this, but the nonprofit world is an ugly place. It's not nearly as charitable as they would have you believe. There's a lot of people getting very, very rich in the nonprofit world. I want you to do me a favor. Go look up Tunnel to Towers and look up their charity rating. Look up their charity rating. When you give to Tunnel to Towers, more than 95 cents of every dollar goes to its programs, widows, orphans. That's unheard of. What an awesome organization. And all they ask for, which I love, is 11 bucks a month. You sign up to give it automatically. You never know what's gone. And you know you're helping widows and orphans with that. That's awesome, man. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org.
Enough. Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.